This is Bulls Beat on Bulls Unlimited. Bulls Beat is your stop for exclusive interviews, highlights, and the very latest on all sports at the University of South Florida. With today's show, here's your host, Derek Sharp.
Hello and welcome to the Friday show as we'll get you set for the weekend, but also, yeah, we'll go back a few days. We did not do, as we mentioned, we wouldn't be doing a Bulls Beat Wednesday due to the fact that we were getting late back home, really late back home, got to bed at around 3 a.m., but it was worth the extra few minutes, namely the overtime that the women did play in Dallas against SMU because it got them a few seeds up the list and with a frankly much better, in my opinion, run to a possible AAC championship. We'll give you the whole rundown of what happened in that game, plus what the schedule is for this weekend for the Bulls. The men's basketball team finishes up the regular season after finishing up the home slate undefeated. We'll drop in some highlights from Tuesday night, some highlights from after the game, namely the cutting down the nets ceremony, which, if you weren't ready for it, did seem a little unusual because, you know, you're seeing the confetti and you're going, wait a second, didn't they actually wrap it up on Saturday past in Charlotte? But yeah, actually getting to celebrate a conference championship on your home floor, people stuck around. And yes, they got to cut down the nets as promised by Amir Abdur-Rahim. But that's not all that's going on. Baseball and softball are both at home this weekend. By the way, you can tell I'm a little bit congested, no big deal. Baseball and softball both at home. It's the next to last weekend before conference play for the baseball team. And man, did they get tuned up with some offensive outbursts in the city of Jacksonville earlier this week, scoring on back-to-back days, 17 and 16 runs with one particular bull, Bobby Bozer, going off. We'll give you those details and tell you about softball hosting a major series to start off conference play against the Charlotte 49ers. Track and field, we interviewed them recently, the two individuals who are in the NCAA indoor track and field finals are at it this weekend up in Boston. Lots of golf to tell you about with both teams playing and one member of the men's team. You can guess if you've been listening to the show who named the AAC Player of the Week. Tennis going at it. The men got a nice win against the Big Ten and then a tough loss on Thursday. First loss of the week for any team at USF Athletics. If you go back to Monday, the softball doubleheader of Villanova, those back-to-back baseball wins were on Tuesday and Wednesday. And you also had the men's tennis team knocking off Penn State. Mix in two fun basketball games on Tuesday night, and it was a 7-0 start to the week. And let's go back to Tuesday night for just a little bit here. And some, you might want to be ready. Well, if you saw me post the video, you know what's coming, but some really dramatic stuff from the post-game press conference. It's been a fun few days. Tuesday night, the Bulls went up against Tulane. We said they were better than the record. They have a good offensive team, and man, did they show it. First half had quite a few highlights. We're not going to give them all to you here, but here's a couple minutes.
Tipped out in the hands of Reed. He's got a full head of steam. Here he comes. Kicks it in the corner. Youngblood open. Launches a three. Got it! Bulls have the lead, 10-9. Miguel, he'll load up a three left wing. Good! Selton Miguel's first triple of the game, and the Bulls are back in front.
Selton Miguel with unlimited range.
Out to Youngblood. He's going to load up a three. Right wing splash down! For number three, Chris Youngblood's third triple of the game. The Bulls lead, 29-24.
Forbes, he will load up a triple. That's good. Jalen Forbes is a guy that can and will take and make that shot. Youngblood three in the corner that misses and a rebound on the backside by Kevin Cross. Trailing the play is Forbes. He'll load up another three, and that one is good. And just that fast out of the timeout, it's a 6-0 run, and Tulane leads 30-29. Forbes got loose again and makes another three. Forbes has become a problem. Here's Jaden Reed. Fires one into the corner to Youngblood. Back to Reed at the top. He's going to load up another triple. That one's good.
Wow.
Jaden Reed is 3-for-3 from long range. Reed on the perimeter to Selton Miguel. Into the corner goes to Stroud. Back to Selton. Ball above his head. He's going to work on Cross. Going downhill off the window. Good. He got to the rim just before Cross could block that shot. And it's back and forth we go. 41-40.
My goodness, this game has been really, really exciting.
Holloway dumps it inside. Reed took the pass away. Here he comes like a blur. Reed left side pass to Miguel. Sets his feet. Launches a three. Bingo! Big bucket. By Selton Miguel, they lead 44-40.
And the crowd is a big factor right now, loud as we've had it all night, as the Bulls surge ahead by four, 44-40.
13 seconds to go in the first half. Tulane will hold for the final shot. Forbes sneaks a peek. 7 seconds to go. He's out near midcourt. 5 seconds to go. Drifts to the right.
contested three. He launches. It's good with a second to go in the first half. A contested three. And Forbes goes over to talk to the Bulls student section and band as he heads to the locker room with 17 points, including 5 for 7 from three. But the Bulls have the lead, 44-43.
What a first half.
Definitely had to include some of those Jalen Forbes threes. It's not like he can't do it. He's been doing it all year, and he's got 300 career threes. But he was the guy that was maybe going to ruin everything. He ended up with 7 makes from three on the night. But again, 5 in the first half, 4 of them in a span of 2.5 minutes. Then add that one at the buzzer, but also including Jaden Reed. Man, what a story he was. You got this guy going off on the other side, and Reed was the one Bull that was countering him at that time, and everybody was doing stuff. Reed, 3 for 3 on threes, 11 points in the first half, while Chris Youngblood, who would go on with a career night, scored 12 points, but also 5 assists in the first half. The Bulls were 15 for 36, 9 for 17 on threes, and of those 15 field goals, 14 of those came with assists to just 2 turnovers. We'll get you through the second half here, some of the key moments. We'll start it off when, though, it was 69-67 because Tulane had a shot rim out that would have tied things up. But as we've seen time and time again this year, the Bulls know how to put on a big run. And then it was senior fun at the end.
Bulls lead by 2. Here's Cross, spins into the paint, working against Pryor. His shot around the rim and off and into the hands of Brandon Stroud. Bulls looking to run. They got a 4-on-2. Stroud, he's going to go all the way to the basket with the right hand. Brandon Stroud, the lefty, gets the layup to go, and the Bulls lead by 4.
And Tulane with the Olay defense. Brandon Stroud went right through it.
5 minutes left to go. Sion James on the perimeter. He's got Celton Miguel on him. And here's a steal by Stroud. It's batted around. It's loose. Pryor goes to the floor to get it. They jump on top of him. This is going to be the Bulls' ball either way, if it's a foul or if it's a held ball. Don't look now, but Tulane doesn't have a field goal for over 3 minutes. 1-3-1 zone out of Tulane. Right side it goes to Miguel. Back to Placer. Left wing. Youngblood comes off a screen. Shoots from 15 feet. Swished it in. Youngblood's got a career-high 27. Left side, Miguel. Back to Placer. Puts the ball on the floor in the corner to Stroud. He loads up a 3. Yes! Brandon Stroud hits his 10th of the year, and none bigger than that one. Here's a steal by Youngblood. He jumped the spinner. Now they pass it to Youngblood. He's going to go to the basket, off the window and in. They're going to blow the roof off this place. Jose Placer out near midcourt. Makes a spin move. Shakes free from a man. Pulls up from 3. Got it! Jose Placer with the triple. The shake and bake. And then the make.
How about Jose Placer on senior night burying a 3 to put the Bulls up by 11.
His first points of the game.
Pryor at the line. He's got 10 today.
Make it 11. And that matches the school record. 12 for 12 performance. Here comes Celton Miguel out of the game. And he gets a hug from Amir Abdulrahim. Celton is an emotional guy. How about the Bulls going 6 for their last 8 to close this thing out? The shot clock is off. There's 20 seconds to go. And they are on their feet at the Yuengling Center for the cardiac kids who have forgotten how to lose. And this place is roaring. 10,354 on their feet. That's all there is. There isn't anymore. The Bulls have won their 13th in a row at home. 15 straight. The nation's longest win streak is intact, and the Bulls have done it again.
This was 3 nights ago, but my goodness, it's crazy just to keep hearing it. And we've got to bring it to you because this is the story, folks. And you put a pin in it when you heard him say that Celton Miguel is an emotional guy. Get ready for that in a second. But the Bulls do it again. It really is just astonishing, this team. 85-72 was the final score. Youngblood, who keeps playing better. Hard to believe that. Decided to turn score in the second half. No assists. As we mentioned, he had 5 at halftime. 10 of 15 from the floor. His usual 6 for 6 at the line. But 29 points indeed was a career high. Bulls only turned it over 8 times. And Tulane, which is a starter-heavy team, had 2 players come off the bench and neither played double figures in minutes. While the Bulls have their 9-man rotation figured out and everyone's contributing. Actually, Sam Hines got the start over Chris Youngblood in this game for senior night, but yeah, CY is the starter. Back to the free throws for a second. Did you know that Tulane was 3rd in the country in free throw attempts per game? a little bit more than 26. They were 14 for 17, so the Bulls even kept them off their game. Tulane shoots it very well, but you can get them on defense, and the Bulls did. Now, we'll get more into the NCAA tournament thing next week as we get closer to the NCAA tournament. But just a brief little stump for his club from his post-game press conference before we get into the emotional stuff. I think Amir Abdur-Rahim's got to drop in these little notes when he can. Hey, he wants his team to get the reward if it doesn't win the conference tournament. I mean, you look at the power leagues. Obviously, none of the regular season champions are going to have to win their conference tournament, but neither are their 6th and 7th place teams. I think the Bulls, for running away with a top 10 conference, shouldn't have to worry about it. So, always good when the head coach is on that soapbox every now and then.
Tulane's a dang good team. I'm going to just go on record as saying this, and if y'all want to put this out, put it out. Man, all these people who do the net rankings or whatever, that stuff, man, you come spend a night in the American Conference, okay? You come spend a night playing basketball in the American Conference. I don't want to hear nobody talk about our league is this, our league. Our league is dang good. You top to bottom, our league is one of the best in the country, okay? And I'm tired of hearing about, oh, it's this. No, man. Like, we got really good teams, really good players, and dang good coaches. Because that Ron Hunter over there on that other sideline tonight, dang good coach. All right, now I'll get off my soapbox now and let you talk to these guys.
And those guys were Chris Youngblood and Selton Miguel, who, boy, good thing this is just audio. You'll probably get choked up. But if you want to see Selton Miguel midway through this Amir Abdur-Rahim response, I did post it last night on my X page at Derek Sharp. When his head coach's voice starts to crack, immediately look at him with this, well, love is the word. I mean, it was pretty special.
Man, this dude right here is the MVP of our team. It's not even a question about it, because he trusted me when he didn't really have to, right? He could have bumped up and said, but he said, nah, like, you asked me to do this, I'll do whatever you need me to do, coach. I got you. You know, so to be able to take him out of that game and for him to be able to hear how much these people appreciate him, man, that's what it's about for me, man.
Don't make me cry, man.
Man, I'm sorry, man. I can't help it, man, because, man, it's just great to see growth in young people, man, when they start to see themselves as more than just basketball players, when they start to see themselves as men, you know. And I guarantee you, he knows now, whether it's basketball or whatever it may be, he knows what to do and how to go be successful, and that's what it's about. I like, honestly, guys, I don't need a piece of net or a ring to tell me I'm a good coach. Not when, like, these guys are, you know, they respond. Like, that tells me right there.
Dang.
Got me, man.
We could spend the whole show easily just on men's basketball, but we are halfway through, and there's, like I said, plenty else to go. But briefly, season's not over. The regular season ends on Saturday at Tulsa, which is a team that has a very talented guard, one of the top freshman scorers in the country. Try 20.6 per game, and he does it by getting to the line. He is second updated in the country in free throw attempts, 280. That's 10 a game, basically. They play 29 games. They are above 500. They have a recent win that kind of helped the Bulls out under the radar, beating Charlotte at home in a thriller. It's going to be a tough one for the Bulls, I'm telling you. And we'll have the coverage for you live on Bulls Unlimited, 2:30 with the pregame show. Bulls are the number one seed no matter what, but they've got to win this game, you know it, in order to keep those at-large hopes very, very strong. They're up to 73. They've moved up a couple spots each of the last 2 days after a big 7-point jump with the win on Tuesday night. And now it's about looking at who is going to be on your portion of the bracket. The 8-9 game is feeling like East Carolina or Tulsa. Then I'm really curious about what Bulls fans think about the 4 seed, the 4 and the 5 seed, because you're going to have to play one of those teams if you make the semifinals. As it stands right now, going into the last game for everybody, FAU is going to be either the 2 or the 3. Charlotte right now is in third, but there are 3 teams a game behind them. That would be SMU, Memphis, and UAB. So basically, those 6 teams, with the Bulls on top, of course, at 16-1, probably should mention their record, it just feels good to say, 23-5. The 2 teams on their half of the bracket will be the ones that finish 4th and 5th right now. It's a 3-way tie for 4th, and there's probably going to be tiebreakers involved because Memphis plays at FAU. I'm Guessing FAU wins that one. And SMU and UAB play each other. So obviously, by the time we hit the air the next time on Bulls Beat Monday, it'll all be sorted out. We know that the Bulls' first game is Friday at 1 o'clock against the 8-9 winner. What we know, we'll definitely tell you on Sunday when we hit the air with the women's basketball game from Fort Worth. Speaking of the women, oh, talk about conference seedings. It was all over the map on a wild Tuesday night. That was of scoreboard watching and of watching the action unfold. You'll hear the drama, and the Bulls got the overtime win and the fifth seed for the conference tournament. Let's see. Softball hosting a critical series to start off conference play. Baseball putting up 33 runs in two games with late rallies and Bobby Bozer driving in 13 in two games. Golf, tennis, track and field, and oh yeah, spring football. We got some good Alex Golish stuff. Speaking on the men's basketball team, I love how he just has a genuine appreciation for what his fellow coaches do, and it's not just talking. He goes to the games, obviously. Then, oh yeah, his football team into week one of spring two for him.
I leave it to Amir to go with the donuts and the coffee, although he's raised the standard there for everybody. There's a real energy, right? And shoot, not long, we'll be playing right here. And so there's like this really authentic, cool energy. I've been to the last couple of basketball games. Man, like, that's what college basketball is, man. A packed house and student sections going crazy and people genuinely excited. That's what college football should be and is becoming that here. I think there's just this standard that's been raised and set by Michael Kelly and the administration. Like, I know the quote of this ain't the old South Florida anymore. Like, there's a standard here. You're in Tampa. You're at a top 40 public school in the country. You're in 11th best media market in the country. Like, you're a big time school. Let's act that way. And that's what they've done, is they've given us the resources to go do it. Now we got to go do it. A bunch of new faces, which is really cool to see. There's like a really cool energy. And for us, the challenge, I told our guys a year ago, there was no expectations of any sort, but like all we worried about was us and our process. Now the challenge is there are actually expectations. And the challenge to us is still to just worry about us and our process. So there's a really cool energy.
First week, then it's spring break, so they're off. And then by the time they get back on the field, I'll actually get to watch them practice, I have a feeling. Have a little bit more time. But we were running around, including doing the new Bullseye show. Didn't play any clips from that, but the video is out on GoUSFBulls.com. You can get it on YouTube. And, of course, we'll replay it several times. But both Amir Abdul-Rahim on that hole, cutting down the net ceremony and how it came together, but everything. And Michael Kelly is great, and you just heard Coach allude to it, about everything and how it just builds with men's basketball leading the way right now towards how it's going to feel with this buzz around campus with the on-campus stadium. And again, that was Michael Kelly's, one of many great things he had to say in his spot with yours truly, Kaylee Cottrell and Joey Johnston on the new Bullseye, which hit Thursday morning.
And all you got to do is scroll down and check it out on the podcast page right here.